Let us turn in the Holy Scriptures once more to Luke chapter 12. We will read the final portion of the chapter, beginning at verse 35 and reading to the very end, verse 59. And our text is comprised of verses 54 through 57. This is the word of God in Luke 12, beginning at verse 35. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the manservants and maidens, and to eat and drink, and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. I am come to send fire on earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one household divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Now begins our text. And he said also to the people, When ye see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway ye say, There cometh a shower. And so it is. And when ye see the south wind blow, ye say, There will be heat. And it cometh to pass. Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that ye do not discern this time? Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? When thou goest with thine adversary to the magistrate, as thou art in the way, give diligence that thou mayest be delivered from him, lest he hail thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and the officer cast thee into prison. I tell thee, thou shalt not depart thence till thou hast paid the very last mite. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Call your attention once more to verses 54 through 57, our text, which I will reread. And he said also to the people, When ye see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway ye say, There cometh a shower, and so it is. And when ye see the south wind blow, ye say, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that ye do not discern this time? Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? Beloved, in our Lord Jesus Christ, we have been attending to the rich instruction of our Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 12, a chapter in which our Lord gives us much instruction about the way we are to live our earthly lives before God's face here in this world. And tonight we come to the last part of Luke chapter 12. And the main concept that we find in the portion of scripture that we just read is the concept of watchfulness. Jesus is speaking about watchfulness. To be watchful, spiritually watchful, is to be spiritually sober and alert, to be on the lookout for the Lord Jesus Christ, and also to be careful and diligent in examining one's own life and in preparing for the day that the Lord Jesus shall come. We see that theme of watchfulness, especially in the parable of the servants, which Jesus spoke at the beginning of the passage of scripture that we read. The Jews and all of the saints throughout the Old Testament dispensation were called to be watchful, looking for the first coming of the Lord. And likewise, the saints after Christ's first coming, we are called to be watchful, spiritually sober and alert, looking for the day of our Lord's coming. For he will come on a day and an hour when men do not think, do not expect him to come. Now, our text, verses 54 through 57, follows and is connected to Jesus' teaching on watchfulness in the foregoing verses. Here, in our text, Jesus speaks a rebuke to the church of his day, to the Jews who had failed to be watchful. They had failed to discern the time in which they were living. And an extraordinary time it was. And because they failed to watch, and because they failed to discern, they missed the most extraordinary work of God yet performed to that date. We understand, of course, that God is sovereign over all these things, that all God's elect were gathered, all of God's elect were brought to faith, and even many of God's elect who were blind during the time of Jesus when he walked on this earth were later brought to faith. But the point of Jesus' rebuke is, you were not watchful. You failed to discern the time. And in that rebuke, there's an implied calling. An implied calling to his audience that day and an implied calling to us to be watchful, to discern the time, to be on the lookout for the Lord Jesus coming, and to be diligent in looking to ourselves in preparing and making sure we are ready for the day of his return. An important aspect of the Christian life is set forth in our text. Watchfulness and discernment of the time. Thus, we have an applicable passage for us today. It's universally applicable to the Christian life, but it also has special application for the circumstances in which we find ourselves. In the midst of a coronavirus pandemic, unable to meet for worship, confined to our homes. How do we look at all of these things? What is our perspective of the things going on in the world? What do we see? What do we focus on? And how do we respond? Do we discern the time such that we see what God is doing? Or are we more like the Jews who are focused on all sorts of earthly things but fail to see what the Lord is doing in our time? There's an instructive word here for us, a rebuke, which we all need to hear, and an important calling that we all need to hear, as well as encouragement that we all need. So we take as our theme this evening Jesus' penetrating question, how is it that ye do not discern this time? We consider that under 3 points, the rebuke, the calling, and the encouragement. Our text is a rebuke from the Lord. It's a rebuke that Jesus gave to the church of his day, to the Jewish nation, for their failure to be spiritually discerning, for their failure to discern the days in which they lived. First, Jesus calls attention to this lack of spiritual discernment by contrasting it with the watchfulness and the very sharp discernment that these people exercised in other areas of their life. That's verses 54 through 55. And he said also to the people, "When ye see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway ye say, there cometh a shower. And so it is. And when ye see the south wind blow, ye say, there will be heat. And it cometh to pass." The people were very watchful in certain areas of their life. And Jesus calls their attention to one of them, the weather. Something as ordinary as weather. The weather is something that nearly everyone watches and pays some degree of attention to. It is something that is completely outside of man's control, but something that has a great effect on our lives, especially in Jesus' day when so many people worked outdoors, were farmers, were shepherds, and the rest. People paid attention to the weather. Weather has a big impact on man's life. And so it was useful to have an idea of what the weather was going to be on this day or that day so that one could make plans accordingly, adjust one's life accordingly. People watch the weather. They discern the signs in the sky and in the earth. They interpret those signs and they put that knowledge to practical use. Jesus gives two examples from his day here. First, he speaks about someone looking to the sky. When a man would look out in the western sky and he would see dark clouds rising, that was a sign to him that a shower was coming, a rainstorm was coming. Typically in Palestine, storm fronts would move from the west over the Mediterranean Sea. And so it was a pretty logical assumption that if a man saw dark rain clouds on the western sky, that rain was coming. Straightway ye say, there cometh a shower. And so it is. Very often that prediction is correct. Men watch, they read the signs, they interpret them, and they apply that knowledge. Similarly, when Jews in Palestine would experience a wind picking up and blowing from the south, their prediction would be a heat wave is coming. Think through your map of where Palestine is positioned in the land south of Palestine. Wilderness, desert areas. When winds would come from the south, it would often bring an increase in temperature. And so the people knew that. They watched, and when the wind would pick up from the south, they rightly predicted there's going to be heat. There'd be these phenomena that men would watch, interpret, and apply to their daily lives. Now, Jesus isn't saying it's bad. Jesus is not condemning meteorology here. Jesus is not condemning a concern for the weather and paying attention to these things in the creation. That's being observant. That's taking responsible forethought. That's being prudent as we live our lives here in this world. What's Jesus' point? Jesus' point is to expose the unspiritual, earthly-mindedness in which so much of the church was living in his day. The point is that the people were so very watchful of the sky and the earth, they took notice of the signs in the heaven and the signs in the earth. They interpreted these plain and clear signs and applied that knowledge. But when it came to spiritual things, they were far less watchful and observant. They carefully observed the weather each day, but they did not discern the equally plain and clear signs that God was doing something extraordinary in their own day. In fact, they gave very little heed and interest to what God was doing in their day. In short, they failed to discern the spiritual significance of the time in which they lived. They paid attention only to those things that had an immediate bearing on their earthly lives day to day. And thus, Jesus, having contrasted the lack of spiritual discernment with the very real and sharp physical discernment of these people, he delivers a rebuke, an instructive rebuke to the church of his day. That's verse 56, the heart of our text. Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that ye do not discern this time? Jesus' words here are pointed and very important. This time, Jesus says. This time. By that he refers to this present day, this present age, this current time, right now. But Jesus is saying more here. In the Greek language, there are two different words for time. The first word refers to time in general, the flow of time. Our word chronology comes from that Greek word. But that's not the word Jesus uses here in our text. Rather, there's a second Greek word that refers to a definite, fixed period of time in which there is opportunity or in which something significant takes place. The word that Jesus uses here refers to a critical, significant period of time. And so what Jesus is saying here to these Jews, how is it that you do not discern this critical time period, this significant age in which you are living? How is it that you do not discern what God is doing in your days? What made this time so significant? What made it such a critical period of time? This time, this present day about which Jesus is speaking, is the time that the saints throughout the entire Old Testament had been waiting for. Since the beginning, this present day was the fulfillment of the mother promise. This present day was the day of the Messiah's first advent. Here is Jesus Christ, the Messiah, in the flesh, living and walking among the church in Judea and in Galilee. What a time! What a critical juncture in history! This was Messiah's time! This was the climax of the whole Old Testament dispensation. Like those servants mentioned in the parable in the context, who waited through the long watches of the night, so too the saints of the Old Testament had waited, waited, and waited for this time, this day. And the telltale signs were everywhere. Jesus was preaching. Jesus was healing. Jesus was opening the eyes of the blind. He was healing the lame. He was preaching the gospel to the poor. The scriptures were being fulfilled before the very eyes of the people and in their very hearing. And yet, they didn't see. How is it that ye do not discern this time, Jesus says. They failed to discern the time in which they lived, what was going on, the work of God that was taking place before their very eyes. The word discern here in the text means to observe something, to examine it, and then to put it to the test in order to prove it to be genuine. And the idea is that they didn't observe the life and ministry of Jesus, all of the signs surrounding him. They didn't consider it, ponder it, put it to the test of the scriptures which they had, the prophecies and the promises of the Messiah, and judge the genuineness of those signs. They were as clear and plain as the cloud in the sky and the south wind blowing. There was no excuse. But they didn't discern. That's why Jesus says, ye hypocrites. Everyone in the church of that day said they were waiting for the Messiah. They wanted the Messiah to come. They were eager for the Messiah. Everyone was looking for him. So they said, when he came, they didn't see him. Because they didn't want to see him. He wasn't what they wanted him to be. It's not ignorance here. It's unbelief. Willful unbelief. That's the undercurrent of Jesus' argument. He's saying, it's as easy to see that I am the Messiah as it is to look at the western sky and predict rain is coming. It's as easy to see that I am the Messiah as it is to feel the south wind blowing and say, ah yes, that means heat. scriptures were open and being fulfilled before their very eyes. So Jesus delivers this pointed rebuke to the people, a rebuke that was undoubtedly used to soften the hearts of many of his elect sheep. Perhaps then, perhaps it would take more time later. You think of all of those who were brought into the church after the ascension of the Lord, after Pentecost. But a strong rebuke, necessary rebuke, an instructive rebuke, the need to discern the time. Jesus' rebuke, recorded in the Holy Scriptures, is important for us too. It's a rebuke that we need to hear too, because we're just like the Jews. We're not better than they are. We have the same human nature that is prone to be far more watchful of all the things of this life and to be very spiritually dim and unwatchful. We too are prone to fail to discern the time in which we live. Fail to discern what God is doing in our day by looking at the signs about us and judging them with the Holy Scriptures. So there's an implied calling, a calling now for us to consider. And that calling is the opposite of what Jesus rebuked the Jews for. Our calling is discern this time. Judge this time with the Holy Scriptures. Be spiritually observant. Be watchful. Have the eyes of your faith wide open so that you perceive the things God's hand is doing in our day. Living with that consciousness that God is at work, seeing, understanding, and then living and responding according to what God is doing. Spiritually discerning the time. That's our calling. Now, this time, of course, is very different from the time of Jesus' original audience. The people of Jesus' day lived in a unique period of human history, at the climax of the Old Testament, at the transitional point from the Old Testament into the New Testament. They lived during the days of the first advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. They lived at the end of the Old Testament, right before the beginning of the New Testament, with the death, resurrection, ascension of Christ and the outpouring of His Spirit at Pentecost. Nevertheless, being watchful and discerning this time, this command implied in Jesus' rebuke comes as much to us too, for we live in a unique time also. We live after Jesus' first advent. We live enjoying the blessings of Jesus' first coming. But now what is unique about our time is that we live in the last age. The New Testament is the last age. The age that will conclude the history of this world. It will conclude the second coming of the Lord Jesus on the clouds of glory, when He will judge all men, raise the dead, and bring about the new creation and the everlasting state. We are in this unique period of history, the New Testament, this time. And our calling in this time is much the same as the calling of the Old Testament saints in their time, to watch. That parable Jesus spoke about the servants watching for their Lord is just as applicable to us. We watch for His second coming. We are called as His servants to be waiting, to be ready, to have our loins girded and our lamps burning, and to be busy in the Lord's business as we wait for Him to come. Watch and discern this time. From here, I want to trace out two lines of application of this command. Two lines of application. One more general and one more specific. And we begin with the more general line of application. First, our calling that comes out of this text is the calling of the church throughout the ages to watch for Christ, and to discern the signs of His coming. The Bible teaches us that throughout the New Testament, there are precursory, that is, foregoing or running ahead signs, precursory signs that indicate to us Jesus is coming. These precursory signs are described most fully in Jesus' Olivet Discourse, which is recorded in Matthew 24 as well as Luke 21. Let's look at a couple of verses in Luke chapter 21, which describe for us the signs of Jesus' second coming that we are to observe and discern in this, our time, the New Testament age. Luke 21, we look at verses 8 through 11. 8 through 11. And he, Jesus, said, "Take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven." That's a concise description of the signs of Jesus' coming, signs that occur throughout the entirety of the New Testament age, signs which are always occurring, but which increase in frequency and increase in intensity as the day of the Lord draws closer and closer. We can gather from that passage in Jesus' Olivet Discourse that there are really three main categories of signs that are observable in the New Testament age. There are first the signs in the nations, wars, rumors of war, as Jesus says in Matthew 24, commotions, referring to civil unrest, strife, trouble in society, social upheaval. That's something that's going on all throughout the New Testament age. The New Testament age is a time of turmoil and strife. But along with it, there are signs in nature. Great earthquakes, which encompasses also natural disasters, great storms, tsunamis, and the rest. Famines, starvation, resource shortages, and the like. Pestilence, that is, plague, sickness, disease, signs in the world and in nature. And then third, there are signs in the church. False teachers emerging, the cooling of the love of many, the falling away of many who are inside the sphere of the covenant. And most especially the preaching of the gospel, which is the sign of the coming of the Lord. As the preaching of the gospel goes forth into the nations, it's a sign of the Lord's coming, for the Lord will only come when the preaching of the gospel has reached every one of his elect people. All of these signs are observable throughout the New Testament age. And these are the signs that the church is called to watch for, to discern, to take note of. Not so that we may somehow use these signs to predict the day of Jesus' coming. That cannot be done. Jesus says in Matthew 24 emphatically, no one knows the hour. No man knows the hour. The only one who does is God the Father. Nor are these signs given to us so that we can try to piece together how close Jesus is to coming. Jesus makes that clear in the passage that we read out of Luke 21, when he says that the end is not by and by. Meaning, as you observe these signs, don't jump to the conclusion that the end is right now. These things must come to pass. But there are other things that must take place when the end is right about to take place. The rise of Antichrist, for example. These signs that we observe throughout the New Testament age are rather signs that we discern, and signs which tell us Jesus is coming, and he's coming swiftly, and he's making progress. He's getting closer. We don't know the day or the hour that he will come. We cannot even predict how very close we may be. That's not the point. The point is that these things testify to us. He is coming. Christ, the sovereign Lord, is ruling over all things, over nations, over nature, and over His church. And He is controlling all things to bring about the day of His coming. He is coming closer. Each and every one of these signs is a footstep of Christ. And faith observes, discerns these signs, not just as calamities, not just as awful things that take place in the world, but discerns them as footsteps of Jesus coming for His church. And so our calling with respect to these signs of Jesus' second coming is to consider them, to ponder them, and to respond to them like those faithful servants in Jesus' parable, by watching for the Lord, using those signs to look to His coming, reading those signs, and being motivated to live as a faithful servant, busy in the Lord's business, preparing, making ready for the day of His coming. Not living as those wicked servants who said the Lord tarries, and so they lived it up. They started beating and abusing their fellow servants. They started eating and drinking, living in pleasure, doing what they wanted, doing their own will, because the Lord's coming is a far way off. No, the spiritual Christian discerns the signs of this time, and those signs testify to Him. Jesus is coming, and I want to be ready. I'm going to live according to His word, be found faithful, a faithful servant, watchful, waiting in readiness for His coming. So we see our calling here, and we see how Jesus' pointed rebuke hits the mark. We need to hear it. Take it in. Like the Jews, we so easily become so much more concerned with the things here below. We can be so earthly minded sometimes. There's so many things we watch. We watch the weather, yes. We watch the stock market. We watch gas prices. We watch all of these things. But do we watch for the coming of the Lord with the same fervency, greater fervency we ought to have? Do we watch for His coming and discern the times, the signs of the times? Let us watch and discern this time. That's the general line of application. As Christians in the New Testament, we are called to discern this time by watching the signs of our Lord's coming. But now a second and more specific line of application. And this has to do with our immediate circumstances, this present time, this time in which we are living right now. And the trials and troubles that we face with the current pandemic, and living under an executive order that is very restrictive, that binds us to our homes by and large, that has put us out of our workplace, and so many other things, trouble, hardship, that characterizes this time. The instruction of our text for this time, for our life in the midst of these circumstances of global pandemic, the instruction for us in this time is discern it. Look past the bad things happening and see the hand of God at work. The believer who discerns this time, this situation, these circumstances, recognizes that absolutely everything that's happening, the number of coronavirus cases, the governor's executive order, my being stuck at home, the reason this is happening is it was eternally decreed by God, and it is being executed by His good fatherly hand of providence. It's not Governor Whitmer that is doing these things. It's not anyone else. It's God who is doing these things. Discerning the time means seeing the fatherly hand of God by faith, working in these present circumstances, in this present time, seeing the fatherly hand of God in these things, and then responding accordingly. We have a whole lot more anxiety, and a whole lot more angst, and a whole lot more trouble when we're just looking with these eyes. We see the virus as the problem doing its own thing, or the government as the problem doing its own thing, or whatever the case may be, and not looking past that to the sovereign God behind all of these things. Our calling is to discern what God is doing in this time, in our day. And we want to live in light of that truth so that we profit from it. Jesus' rebuke here reminds us just how easily I and all of us lose our focus in times of adversity. And how easy it is not to discern the hand of God. We see that in the undiscerning world, how they respond oscillating between panic and outrage. Panic over the threat to their life, outrage over the restriction of their freedoms, and we go back and forth. It's very easy for us too to get swept up in it. Fixate on the negative, focus on the problems. Have our eyes fixed on the economic horizon and see those looming clouds of economic outfall. And let's look past that. Who's in control? Our God, our Father, who's ordained all these things, who does all things well, who's working through these things for our good. He's our Father. He knows our needs. He never does anything that will truly harm us. He averts all evil, or he turns it to our profit. That's our focus. That's to be our spiritual discernment. Yes, those things are hard. Yes, those things are scary. That we mustn't minimize that. We must look past it to him, so that we don't lose sight of our God and let coronavirus, joblessness, or any other affliction become bigger than God. Fix your eyes on him. Discern what he is doing in this time. Part of that then is recognizing that the Lord has given us a special time. Go back to that Greek word, which means a definite fixed time. A time in which something special is taking place, a season. That's what this time of pandemic and restriction is. It's a special time that God has given us in which we have an opportunity to profit. Whenever the Lord takes something away, he also gives us something through the taking of that thing away. Every affliction he gives us is for our good, to teach us something, to refine us, to shape us. God doesn't just take. He gives in the taking. So when he's taken our freedoms, he's taken our jobs, he's taken us away from family and friends, he's taken all sorts of things during this time, we are to be discerning. What is he giving? What are the opportunities in this time? The opportunity I have to humble myself under his almighty hand and devote myself to him in prayer, seeking to grow in grace and in my trust of him, seeking to learn in the school of adversity to trust. This time is an opportune time to have the Lord loosen our attachment to things that belong to this earth. Whenever our material wealth and our earthly freedoms are threatened, it's an opportunity to be reminded that those things aren't really what matter. Those aren't the things that are going to last forever. it's always healthy and good for us from time to time in our lives through the merciful adversities that God gives us to loosen our attachment to those things. The discerning Christian recognizes this opportunity and he says, I want to seize upon it. I don't want to just wallow in the trouble, be upset, be sad, be angry, complain. I want to seize the opportunities for good that God gives in this time, discerning this time. It's an opportune time for growing in our spiritual lives, for giving ourselves to the development of our family lives. It's an opportunity in so many ways. Let's be good stewards of our affliction, good stewards of this time, profitable servants in this time where God has placed us. Not easy. Any time that we have to look with more than these physical eyes, it's a challenge. We're creatures of this earth. Our natural direction is to look down by the grace of God through the gift of faith with our eyes illuminated by the Word. We can, and we do, discern this time, see our God's fatherly hand, find comfort, joy, rest in that, and truly profit and grow through these troubles. That brings us to the encouragement. When we heed the word of God and discern this time in which we live and perceive the hand of God at work, we will find great encouragement. Faith finds encouragement. It finds encouragement where these physical eyes will never find it. The world doesn't find much encouragement. It looks around. It only sees the disaster. It only sees the trouble. It only sees the looming problems on the horizon. And it looks for hope. It looks for encouragement by trying to find human solutions to these problems. Looking to government. Looking to technology. Looking to man's ingenuity. Looking to all of these other things that cannot save. Faith always finds encouragement because faith looks to God. To Christ, our Savior. And that's how faith can be encouraged. Even when looking at all of the signs of the times, which in and of themselves are not encouraging things. None of them are pleasant. You go back to Luke 21, a brief summary of the signs of the times that are going on throughout the New Testament age. None of those things are happy things. None of those things are pleasant things. No one loves to hear about war. No one loves rumors of war. Commotion is not fun for anyone. Natural disasters are troublesome. Pestilences are fearful. Famine is painful. None of these things are pleasant and good in themselves. These are the things that drives the world into a panic. Because it threatens the only life they have. And deep down they know these things are a judgment from God. But Jesus says in Luke 21 verse 9 about all these things, be not terrified. Don't be afraid. And we're not afraid when we discern this time. Discern the hand of God in it. The hand of God at work. Faith sees the connection between all of these unpleasant things and the great consummation of history, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of these unpleasant things are footsteps of Christ. Yes, they are painful here and now. Yes, they are threatening. But that's nothing compared to the glory that's going to be revealed when the Lord returns. Each one of these signs is one more footstep of Christ closer. And that's reason to rejoice. That's encouraging. All of these things show us Christ is on the throne. Christ is in control. Christ is ruling. Christ is coming. And Christ will save His people. Coronavirus. Government lockdown. All of these things are footsteps of our bridegroom coming for us. Faith focuses on that. Has peace, even in a tumultuous world. And so Jesus can say, if we go back to Luke 21, Jesus can say, now in verse 28, Luke 21, verse 28, and when these things begin to come to pass, then what? Then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. That's our encouragement. Look up. Let's all look up. Keep looking up. Natural posture is always to look down. It's one of the reasons adversities are so good for us, because with adversity, God pulls our head back up, forces us to look up, look up, look up. Be encouraged. Your redemption draws nigh. So, beloved, let us discern this time with the eyes of faith. Let us fight our natural sinful instincts to rebel against the things God is doing in our lives that can sometimes make life not what we want it to be. Let's look up to Him. By faith, see what He is doing. Find our encouragement and our comfort. The truth that the Lord Jesus is coming. The Lord Jesus reigns. That all things which must yet come to pass only serve the glorious day of His second advent. Let us watch, let us wait in the expectation of the sure fulfillment of our unshakable hope. Amen. Blessed God and Heavenly Father, we have heard the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They prick us because they show us our sinful nature. They show us how easily we respond wrongly to the troubles that ascend in our life. They show us how easily we let ourselves be blind to the works Thou dost do in our day. Strengthen us by this word to be a people who by faith discern this time. Discern the signs of Jesus coming, that we may be encouraged as we hear His footsteps echoing as He draws nearer. And may we discern also Thy handiwork in our present circumstances, in this present day of trouble, that we not be overly burdened down with care, that we not be filled with anger or complaint or discontentment, but that we suffer these things contentedly and hopefully and even gladly, knowing that Thou hast given this time to us for our good. Give us the wisdom to see the opportunities embedded in our trials, that we may avail ourselves of them. By Thy grace, grow spiritually through this time. Bless the word that we have heard to our hearts. May it encourage us above all, that we may go home tonight encouraged and built up in our faith, eager and zealous to watch and to wait for the coming of our Savior. Hear us in mercy for His sake. Amen.